Back to Romans chapter 6. We're going through the book of Romans on Sunday morning. We're going through Paul's letters in chronological order. And so we're at the phase where we're in the book of Romans now. Last Sunday we went through verses 1 through 14. We talked about getting to the place in verses 17 and 18. Having that, being freed from sin, being slaves of righteousness, the process it takes to get there. And so we had talked about, you know, if I'm going to walk with the Lord, we hear a lot of that, those cliche sayings, right? Walk with God, I walk with the Lord, my personal walk. Most of the time people don't even know where that's at in the Bible. Or you ask them, okay, you talked about a walk with the Lord, where's that at in Scripture? I don't know. Well, mainly it's in Ephesians 5, that's neither here nor there. But walking with the Lord starts in the mind. Okay? Starts in the mind. Well, that's what Paul wants to understand. We talked about the know and reckon and yield, what I need to know as a believer. Okay? What I need to know. We'll go over that real quick before we go on to the next section here. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's one thing I have to know, is my old man is now dead. Okay, no more. Gone, done, finished. It has no more power over me. So in the book of John, when Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. So that's where I got to set my mind. I have to know this. Okay? I have to consider or reckon. Well, I like that in verse number 11. Likewise, also consider yourselves to be dead to sin. So as I'm dead to sin, now what? Now moving forward, I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now I can move forward. So I'm dead to one area. That's true. It's a fact. Now again, it's not saying that you're not going to sin or you're not going to be tempted, but it doesn't have to have power over you. And not only that, but now I know, I can reckon and consider that I'm moving forward. I can be alive unto God. I can move forward in righteousness. And the last one we see here, no reckon yield, is I'm going to yield my members, in verse 13 there, I'm going to yield my members, my body, as instruments of righteousness. So no more of unrighteousness, but forward to righteousness in Christ. Right? Well, the things we focused on, talked about walking starts here. So as the believer experienced salvation, now it's time to experience a life of righteousness. We had talked about, again, last week, how, you know, we hear a lot about reading our Bible. You want to go beyond that. It's not just reading. You only remember 10% of what you read. Okay? We talked about, you remember 20% of what you hear. Just me lecturing to you, you know, you're going to remember 20%. A lot of times when people try and trick you and say, well, what did your pastor preach on last Sunday? And you go, man, I really don't know. Yeah, you're not going to, right? Not that you're a bad person or I'm a bad teacher. Your brain functions this way, all right? 30% of what you see, 50% of what you see and hear. That's why it's good to have your Bible and listen to audio with it. You'll remember more, okay? 70% of what you say, that's why there's always good to get two sides of every story. There's 30% missing. But 90% of what you do, okay, 90% of what I actually do, you'll remember. So remember, in Romans chapter 5, God's going to allow life experiences to happen to you. It's no more God. Why are you doing this? No, I know why. Character, hope, patience, all those things. I know why. So as circumstances come, the believer's life isn't up and down. It's ins and outs. Okay, it's ins and outs. So as things happen in my life, I'm filtering it through the Holy Spirit and the truth I know, and it comes out with righteousness, or should anyway, right? Not the flesh. We'll get to that later. So as we continue on here in Romans 6, let's look down at verse number 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? So the first one there, shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? God forbid. The Jew would say, okay, well, now that I'm not under the law, should I sin? And again, no. Right? So Gentile, Jew, no more sinning. God forbid, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as slaves to obey, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of disobedience leading to righteousness? Now here's the thing. This sounds tricky. Okay, at first glance, this sin leading to death. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and jump forward and explain this so it's not tripping us up all day today, okay? If you look up here, let's see, we'll go to verse 17. But thanks be to God, for you were slaves of sin. So they were slaves to sin, but they did not die, did they? It's not talking about them dying physically then and there. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 2 death. Okay, you have a life without Christ is death. Make sense? Okay, so you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. So other ways of seeing this, sin leading to death. If we go over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a second. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 2. Go ahead and go there in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. You see here in chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. And you were dead. Now, they're alive physically, right? But they're spiritually dead. What else do we see? Verse 2, Ephesians chapter 2, in which you formerly walked according to the age of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What did that look like to those at Ephesus? Verse 3, among them, we all also once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. So we see that getting over the lusts of the flesh, right? I see it, I want it, I go get it. Okay? So that's that slavery. Okay? It's not that I'm a slave to Christ, like, you know, I don't want to be here, and he's like oppressing me. Again, we're going to see as we move forward, it's just a physical example to help us understand we should be giving our lives over to one master. Right? We see it in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, you can't serve God and money. You'll love the one, hate the other. Right? So it's just, who am I committing my allegiance to? Who am I committed to moving forward? Does that make sense? All right, we'll go to one more here to explain this truth. Let's go to Titus. Timothy, Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What's the salvation doing? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, in godliness in this present world. Okay? That's Romans 6 also. We're trying to get at different language, but it's saying the same thing. Right? All right, back to Romans chapter 6. Back to Romans 6. So remember, Paul's writing to a group of believers that are in Rome. He hasn't been there yet. He's heard things, so he's addressing things that he has heard. Okay? There's things that are being said and done. And so he's addressing those with scriptural truth. He's trying to get them all to get unified under one structure, under one person, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, and having been freed from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Now remember, okay, an old school thought process that was taken out of context was, and you'll know them by their fruit. How many of you heard that before? You raise your hands up really high. Don't be ashamed. Now, when you heard that, let's do some back and forth here. What was that in reference to that you remember? Don't hold up. Who will you know by the fruit?
They're what they way they spoke and their action.
Yeah, so you're talking about believers, unbelievers, what?
Because I can use an example of my family, but I won't name, but claim to be a Christian, but she don't live a Christian. Mm-hmm. She don't go to church, and she's got a boyfriend that lived in. So like I said, but yet she claims to be a Christian. Mm-hmm.
Right. Anybody else?
When you heard them by their fruits is believers and non-believers. Mm-hmm. And whatever fruit they're producing tells you where their heart is.
Okay. Anybody else? And where is that found in Scripture? You'll know them by their fruit.
Matthew.
Matthew? Want to read it, Dave? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, we're on the right track. It has to do with false teachers. You will know a false teacher by their fruit. Okay? In the Old Testament, because Christ was alive in the Old Testament, he's looking at false teachers. You'll know the false teachers by their fruit. Now, a believer, you should know a believer by their fruit, but how many of you know a morally good person that's unsaved? I know a lot of them. I know people that are, men, they have fruit of righteousness, but they're not born again, right? Now, all believers should have that. A lot of times we get confused with, hey, you're not saved because you're not doing these things. Well, when you read the New Testament and Paul's addressing the churches, he's addressing them on what they're not doing. All right? Not that they're not saved. He's saying, no, you are saved. You're not doing these things. This is what you need to do. It's helping them get their minds focused on how to walk. Okay, so he understands, I want the believers to be here. All right, let's do some drop. Righteousness. I want them here. Right, we all want them here. How do I get someone from here who's born again but living in unrighteousness, Romans 6, and get them here? There's steps, right? Walking starts here. How can I help someone get to living righteously? Now remember, everyone's environment, how someone's raised, okay, in the home they're in, the first 10 years of their life, they're learning about me. So I'm acting out in society what I've learned about me from me being at home. Right? Tracking? That influences my decisions while I'm at school, good and bad decisions. While I'm at work, see, all these things. Okay? That makes sense what I'm saying? All right, I filter my belief system through how I was raised. Because it's about me. I believe this. Why do you believe what you believe now? Most of you can go back to when you were a child in your house. That's what you were taught. A lot of people might not ever told they were worthless or insignificant, but boy, your environment showed that, didn't it? You might not ever heard your parents say, you're unlovely or you're not loved. I don't love you. Parents might never have said that, but boy, your environment showed that, right? Someone say amen. Come wake up a little bit. So how do we get believers? This is what Paul's doing. He's writing to a bunch of people he hasn't even met yet, with all their upbringings, Jew and Gentile. He's like, how do I get this group together? How do I focus them to get on track? What does he tell them? You should go to school, get a good job, get a degree, and work hard at your job. That ain't going to solve anything. Is it? Not for those things. He's focusing on, you need to know who you are. You have to first of all stop and realize, no, I am dead to sin. That's a position. That's a stance. That takes away me thinking I'll never be free. Like that garbage you hear on AA, you'll always be an alcoholic, you'll always be a drug addict, wrong according to the Bible, that dude's dead. I'm moving forward now, my new life in Christ. How do I do that? You have to know some things. You have to, first of all, know that you've done a sin. Second of all, you have to understand and realize it's true that you can live righteously. If you don't believe you can live righteously, you're not going to. Right? You have to believe that. Number three, I'm now going to yield. Yielding isn't doing nothing. It's like a server waiting a table. Okay? I'm serving as I'm waiting. I'm waiting a table. But I'm doing something with what I know. Okay? I'm acting on it. So here he says, verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you have yielded your members as slaves to impurity and iniquity. So this is sin leading to death, okay? Leading to more iniquity. So the little sins that I do lead to more sins that I do. That's how I used to live, right? That can't be how I live now as a believer. I can't keep sinning. That's the whole point, right? So can I continue to sin? No. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Can I still sin? No. Okay, the things that you used to do, you can't do anymore. Why? Because the person in you has set you free from doing that. Okay? Now, moving forward, he's saying, listen, I'm trying to make this simple for you to understand, because your flesh is weak. Okay? They're young believers in Christ here. He wants them to go on, even so now, yield your members, because there's a choice. Now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto holiness. That holiness is not just, you know, purity. It's being set aside for a specific purpose. That's the root for holiness. I am now set aside. So my old life is dead. I am now set aside for something else. To someone else. Right? To Jesus Christ. Now, as I'm living for Christ, I have to focus. My walk starts here in my mind. I'm focusing on some simple truths. My old life is dead. I have the ability to live righteously. And now I'm going to start acting on it. I'm going to start going forward with it. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're tracking? Okay? And there, everyone has different upbringings and different things. So he's helping them clear all that out and say, focus your mind on three simple truths in Romans 6. That's going to help you move forward. So when you establish this, he's going to do a great explanation in Romans 7 on the law, how the law, the more I do the law, the more I sin. I go into Romans 8. Now let the Spirit lead you. Romans 8 is about the Spirit, right? Influencing you to do righteousness. So he's helping them understand. Okay, we see in Romans 1 through 3, all of mankind are sinners. All of mankind throughout the age of time, we're able to, the just live by faith. Hey, I understand who God is. He's a creator. I'm going to live righteously towards him. Boom, you're good to go. A lot of mankind are still in their sin. So people that were 2,500 years before the law were sinners, but they believed in God. That's why they were allowed to go to Abraham's bosom. They weren't resurrected yet, even though King David said, I know I'll raise again. Not yet, buddy. After Christ raises and goes down, Ephesians 4, to lead captivity captive, then you can come up with him. But there's a process here in Romans 6 to help understand that there's someone else living in me. There's something else that's changed. I've experienced something else. It's no longer external with my mind trying to grasp logically through reasoning how to do the law or how to live morally or how to do good and me trying to strive for something external. No, something happened inside of you. You are now unified in Christ. Romans 6, 1 through 5. You are now in union. Christ is in you to achieve these things. Again, it's not about me doing for God. It's about me understanding who I am, my being, in order to do. So I'm sticking right here. Okay? I'm not going to think about, again, the 50s and 40s. Man, I'm thankful for those preachers, but they got a little cattywampus. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't do this. Don't go to the movies. Don't go to dances. Those aren't sinful things. I'm striving for something external, right? To show to people I'm righteous. The 40s and 50s were the most depressing times in the church because they were so critical spirited. Tell me what I'm talking about. They looked the part outwardly cold. That's what religion does. It looks good, but it feels abominable. It feels bad. It feels awful. Now, I'm not all about feelings, but I'll tell you one thing. When the Holy Spirit entered my life, I felt something different. And when I yield in the fruit of the Spirit, there is joy. There is peace. I don't feel guilty or condemned because I went to a movie theater in the 50s. There's a difference between the Lord talking to me in conviction. It's a good sensation. It feels good. And being browbeaten. Why aren't you doing what I'm telling you to do? You see what Paul's doing here? He's not browbeating them. He's not saying, look, idiots, what's the matter with you? He's not doing that, is he? He's a loving man. He's saying, listen, I get that we have a bunch of different people here, a bunch of different backgrounds. There's two main ones, Judaism and heathenism with idolatry, with serving to idols. You can both come together. He's going to do a great job of this coming up in Romans 9 through 11. Come together right here. Not here. This doesn't do anything. Your heart isn't here. Your heart's here. This is where your heart is. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right here. And I'm focused. I'm intentional. I'm purposeful. The old man is dead. And with that, it's true right now that I can live victoriously in Christ. I could start with John and work all the way around to Bob here. That's one of the hardest things to teach people when we disciple them or we're trying to help someone, is saying, listen, you don't have to be that way. You don't have to do that. It's the biggest leap, isn't it? To try and convince someone that it can get better. It is. I mean, we have family, we have friends, and they're coming to you, they're broken, they're hurt, they're sad, they're depressed, they're discouraged, they're defeated, they feel like giving up, and you say, hey, it can get better. And they're like, how? How can it get better from here? Well, I have to start believing that, because in Christ it is true. I have to give God something to work with. James 1 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What does that mean? I know God can do it, but man, I don't think he is going to. Yeah, you're going like this your whole life. I know God can. I mean, God is in full control, but I don't think he's going to. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop right there. Let's get personal. Your sinful life is dead, which means I have the power to live righteously, and I have the ability to yield my members, and a number one member to yield is your brain, is your thought patterns. You are no longer that person. Start getting in the habit of denying those thoughts that tell you you're that person. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not your past. You're not what you have done or have did. That's your old life. People may have said certain things or done certain things to you that, hey, bad things happen. But in your identity in Christ, in your union with him, in the death, burial, and resurrection, one with him, your significance, your value, your whole process in him, is not that. You see where he's going? Now I'm breaking it down further to you on what he's trying to say. You have to know some things. And until you know it, believe it to be true, and move forward and act on it, you're going to be stuck back there. You're going to be stuck. Many of us have been there also, where we start doubting. The more we doubt, the more we get discouraged. The more we stay in discouragement, we get defeated. And if you haven't been there, thank God, but you've probably been around someone who was like that. They're defeated. They're giving up. They're done. And they're coming to you because your God's supposed to be all powerful, all knowing, all everything. What have I done? Now, I'm not saying you as far as our church people, but Christians in America, believers in America. And here's what people who are don't know this truth in Romans 6, they're over here, they're defeated, they're discouraged. Here's what they hear a lot when they go to their believer friends. Now again, I'm not saying our body. I'm saying what we see around us in America. I don't know. I don't know. Well, how long have you been to church? 40 years. This just shows you that going to church for 40 years can get you nowhere. Why is God doing this? I don't know.
You mean the faith? Your faith?
Right, but most believers don't even know that. Right?
You can be an example where they want to be, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you notice what Paul's doing, he has specific arrows to people's problems. That's where we have to get to. The biggest problem is, number one, are you born again? Do you know for sure heaven's your home? That's the number one problem here, right? Or are you still dead in your sin? That's what he's getting at. You went through that in Romans 1 through 3. Either you know Jesus and you're a part of his life and you're known by him, or you're still yet dead in your sins, you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're not born again, and you're going this way. Well, the number one problem is Jesus Christ my Savior? The second problem is, do I know that my old life is dead? Because here, they're still living out their old life. If you were to be transported back there, you would have said, you're not a Christian. I'm not saying you. I've got to be careful with that word soon. American believers would have looked at the Roman Christian and said, you're not saved. Paul's not saying you're not saved. He's saying, listen, you are saved, but stop living like you're dead and unsaved. See the difference? He's going to focus on three truths to move forward. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Oh, wait, something that I've done, what I earn, is death. But the gift of God, it's free. How do I accept a gift? Hang on, give it away. When a gift is given, I accept it. I receive it. I take it. They don't force a gift on me. I see the gift and I receive the gift. I take it on my own. That receiving that gift of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection goes to eternal life. Now I know that since I am going to resurrect, I can live victoriously now. But what happens is, and I'm almost done, you guys are doing a good job, is I got to filter out what I've already been taught, right? I got to filter out my environment. I got to start filtering out all the garbage that's been put in there. And today, now more than ever, it's bad. There's more information at your disposal now than there ever was in the entire history of humanity. Information overload. We've got to clear out a lot of information and go, okay, Lord, what do I focus on? Where do I stand? Once I grasp that, I can now yield my memories. I can now yield my mind, my thought process. And I can start slowly developing. It's not going to happen overnight to most people. Most people, when they get born again, they still have all their thought patterns, don't they? All their problems are still there. Number one problem is taken care of. They're born again, they're going to heaven. Thank God. And now they need to help understand how they can have victory in Christ. This is what I want all of us to be looking out for. I am actively seeking someone to explain the truth of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, how they can have eternal life. Or someone who may be down and out, but I can come alongside and, you know, not put a Windsor on them in a wrestling move, but come alongside them in Galatians 6 and help bear their burden and invest what I know in their life. That's the process God has for us. It's people, his children, learning and growing, and investing in other people and helping them learn and grow, and they invest, but I never stop. Multiplication, not addition. As that person goes, I go and they go. And then as they go out, we just keep on going and going and going. And we start seeing a lot of Romans chapter 6 people. Knowing my old life is dead. Considering it to be true that I can live righteously in Christ right now. And I'm going to show that by yielding my members, yielding my mind. I'm going to start being open to doing that which is right, learning the right things, living out the right things. But it starts with who I am inside, not what I do. To help people understand that. That's why our doctrines class Sunday morning is vitally important. So if you can come there understanding our doctrine, doctrine should change your behavior. But I got to start here. What's the importance of the resurrection? What does that even do for me? What does it even do for my way of life? You'll see in Scripture what it is. But it starts right here in the old think tank. So Romans 6, helping the believers there, Jew and Gentile. Old life is dead. It's true for me. I can live unto God. And now I'm going to start yielding to Him. It's a slow process. Now Romans 7, if you want to read ahead, Romans 7 is showing the Jews that if you do what the law says, the more the law you try and do, the more the law you sin. It's not Paul as a believer going back and forth on sinning. Okay? It's Paul going back to, hey, I need to use the definition of divorce. I have to divorce from the law. I got to divorce from that. And I got to accept Christ. I got to do both. Okay? Because as a Jew following the law, it said I had not known covetousness unless the law showed me. And the more the law I tried to not do, the more the law I committed. I did bad. So he's going to show the Jews that you can't do it. And we're going to focus on Romans 8, on what that power of the Holy Spirit in me does. Really, really cool. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We're grateful and thankful for your truth. We're thankful for Romans chapter 6. Just understanding, Lord, the knowing, the considering, and yielding. And it's because of my union with you. Father, I pray today that if someone is unsure of their salvation, Lord, I pray if there's somebody that's unsure that heaven is their home, that they would talk to me after the church service. Lord, that we could use the Bible and scriptures to show how they can know for sure heaven's their home. Lord, those of us that do know for sure heaven's our home, that Christ is our Savior, allow our hearts and minds to be focused on this truth, to know that my old man is crucified, no longer a slave to sin, that I don't have to obey it. In fact, the opposite truth is true. I can know and consider and reckon that I can live righteously and victoriously in you, Lord. And allow me to yield my members to that truth. Because you're worth it. Bless now our afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we'll all stand.